Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Under the Lights. The Premier League is back, but we're pretty close to the first international break of the season and the last one before that Qatar Winter World Cup. So we're going to talk a little bit about England. My name's Callum Wilson.
My name's Tom Murray, and this is Under the Lights.
Hello, Tom. How are you doing, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. Football's back. Well, obviously it came back on Tuesday, but it's good to have football returning. Although it's a strange feeling having the Premier League back for one weekend and then off for another two with the international break creeping up on us out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was a shame. We had to cut our Brentford chat out of our last podcast because obviously that game didn't go ahead for obvious reasons. Last weekend, I think essentially our weekend was thrown out, really, weren't they? So didn't really have too much to do. It was all a bit last minute. Couldn't even play on a Sunday either. So that was my weekend gone. But the football is back. Saints are back tomorrow night against Villa. But we're going to talk about the news that's come out today, which is Gareth Southgate's last squad before the World Cup squad comes out. So this is pretty insightful and pretty big news, really, because it gives you a real idea as to what that World Cup squad could look like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know about you, Callum, but I'm getting seriously excited for the World Cup. The fact that it's only really about a month and a half, 2 months away until the Premier League stops and the squads go out to Qatar and it all gets underway. No, I've missed a bit of an international competition. Obviously, the England women did fantastic at the Euros in the summer, and now with the World Cup just around the corner, it's all very exciting. I am really interested by this squad. Obviously, some players are out with injury. But it's, I mean, there's one omission that we'll talk about, which I can't quite understand. It's very, very defender heavy, this squad.
It is defender heavy, but it's always that way because I think people sometimes fail to realise that the role of a fullback and a wingback has changed. And they're, you know, the likes of Reece James, Trent, Chilwell on the other side, they're less defenders now and more utilised in attack. So when you only have a handful of midfielders, that's because the likelihood is that either side of them, they're going to have a wing-back that's in line, if not further up the field than them. So, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that. We know that we like to play four at the back or three at the back, and that is interchangeable. The squad knows how to deal with that and has done for a number of years under Southgate. But yeah, I don't think it's like the old days where, you know, 20 years ago, if you'd had 9 or 10 players that were classed as defenders in your squad, you'd be wondering what the hell we were doing. But some of these players are going to be some of our biggest attacking threats.
Yeah, they are, especially the likes of Reece James, Ben Chilwell getting forward. And we always know that Kyle Walker likes to get forward, even if his end product is somewhat to be desired at the best of times. I'm talking about that miss against Aston Villa the other weekend. 6 yards out, plays it well over the bar. From a Saints point of view, very happy to see James Ward-Prowse in it. I know he was in the final. He was in the squad ahead of the Euros and then was one of those players who were axed. But this feels almost telling, as if, you know, if you're managing to get into this squad, then it's more than likely that you are going to get very, very close or will be in that final squad for the World Cup.
Yeah, well, yeah, as we alluded to at the beginning, I think that's the case for the majority of this squad. Obviously injuries permitting, and currently there are some players that can't be selected due to injury. I just wonder if, I mean, Jordan Henderson is unavailable currently for the squad, and I think he does get in there. and I still have a feeling deep down that James Ward-Prowse is the most likely one to drop out. For me, he doesn't, but I just feel like I'll probably use this phrase a lot as we discuss this squad, but there are a lot of players in this squad that have credit in the bank with Southgate. A number of these players have been to a semi-final of a World Cup, and the vast majority have been to the final and were a penalty away from winning the tournament for the first time since 66. So Gareth Southgate was never, ever going to ring the changes on this squad. It was very unlikely he was going to do it in the last, what's it been, year and a half, really. Because why would you dismantle a squad of players with such harmony and such experience in... You know, they've got more experience than anyone since the 1966 World Cup winning squad, in terms of, you know, who else has got to a final or a semi-final and a final since then. So these players have earned the right to be in contention. However, the debate obviously is how poor does one's form need to get for that to override that side of things. You know, how bad, you've got players like Harry Maguire, for instance, who clearly has had a torrid time of it. However, his form with England has been so good over the years that he's undroppable, really, in Southgate's eyes by the looks of it. It depends on the position you're in. I mean, we're not... Centre-back has always been an issue for England under Southgate's reign, and Maguire hasn't disappointed, so I get why he's in there. But then Man United fans and others have watched him will argue, you know, the opposite.
Yeah. No, you make a good point. With Harry Maguire, he seems to be the butt of all jokes, really, when it comes to just making videos or funny compilations, that sort of thing. I think if he was a £20 million defender, then I think it wouldn't be there wouldn't be such a big thing made out of it. But obviously, with the £80 million price tag, every single mistake is going to be highlighted. And there have been some shockers in there, especially marking his own players. But like you say, credit in the bank for England. I think he's been sensational. He's been a real leader ever since his inclusion in the 2018 World Cup squad. He's sort of been the first man on the team sheet. I think one of the famous lines from one of the commentators was like, if one Harry doesn't get you, the other one will, just to show how much of a threat he is for England. And as you said, it's a tight-knit group. They've been so close and they'll want to go that one step further. Is there any, looking at the squad itself, just is there any particular name that jumps out at you as a bit of a surprise that they're in? Or for all of them, can you basically sort of look at each name and think, yeah, I can understand why you're there?
I'm not surprised at anyone that's in there. There's no one that was a complete and utter shock and none of us had considered. I mean, Ivan Toney has obviously made his first appearance in the squad. I would have been more shocked if he hadn't made it, if I'm totally honest. And Eric Dyer's come back in, but he's been in scintillating form for Tottenham Hotspur and playing at the highest level. So I get why the players are in there. This is a 28-man squad. The World Cup squad was extended to 26. So this is a slightly bigger squad than we would get anyway. So when you say earlier, is this likely to be the squad? You know, some would miss out here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Ivan Toney and Tammy Abraham are fighting it out for a place. He might take a third striker because we have those extra three players. But if England are going to play with Harry Kane and they don't play two up front, seems pretty ludicrous to have another two out-and-out centre-forwards.
Yeah, because they're not going to get game time.
And we discussed this. Yeah, we discussed this, I think, ahead of the Euros before when we thought Danny Ings should go. And in the end, they took... I can't even remember who they took now, but because he barely played. But Calvert-Lewin, I think it was, actually. But I think Ivan Toney and Tammy Abraham are both in form. They won't start ahead of Kane, but it'd be good. It will be good to see Ivan Toney in the squad because I think he does deserve his call up. And Eric Dier is playing well, and he's playing well in a three. He can play in a four, according to Conte, who really defended the player recently. Because I think that was kind of questioned. But again, you know, we're looking for someone to step in at centre back, because that's where we've been weak. But I think the takeaway from this is that, yes, there are players that fans of certain clubs will want in that squad. But at the end of the day, you can't make too many changes to this. It's too close to a tournament. We've only had a year and a half. It's an anomaly, really, because you'd usually have 2 years. But the players that people are talking about, I think that's a fair discussion to have for the first set of friendlies or Nations League or whatever this is after the World Cup, when you've got another, what is it, year and a half?
Until... Year and a half, and then, yeah, where is the next one?
Germany, the Euros. I think at the beginning of, or midway through one of those terms where you're qualifying and all of that stuff, then fine. But right now, you're not going to change the team. You know, there might be a couple of players that are in form. Kyle Walker-Peters is one that's been talked about a lot by Saints fans on Twitter, understandably, because we see him week in, week out, and we know how good he is. But for me, a player like Kyle Walker-Peters needs to be hitting attacking numbers like Reece James, like Trent, in order to force his way into that squad. And he also needs to be part of a team that's keeping a lot of clean sheets and not conceding many goals. Saints haven't had a clean sheet all season. I'm not saying that's Kyle Walker-Peters' fault, obviously, but yeah, something needs to make a player stand out to really push their way into a squad that got to the Euro final only, you know, just over a year ago.
I understand what you're saying there, and I'm not saying this as a straight swap, but I'm just thinking that that line of like how bad a form do you need to be in. I know Trent has got really good attacking numbers, but obviously his defending or lack of has been highlighted in the last couple of weeks, just being so poor, walking back, not chasing after people. It's almost an arrogance that he thinks that the other team are not going to score. Obviously, he's a terrific player. He's got, you know, great passing. He's not afraid of shooting from range and scoring some terrific goals. But at the moment, he is nowhere near what we know he can do.
Absolutely. But I think that what you said at the end there is the point, is that what can these players do? You know, what's going on at Liverpool isn't anything to do with Southgate. He probably doesn't know too much about it. What's been going on at Man United for the last couple of years?
True.
And Shaw and Maguire, that was going on long before the Euros. And these players had unbelievable tournaments. You know, Luke Shaw scored the winner. Should have been, not the winner. I wish it was the winner.
Did you forget the rest of the game after that?
Luke Shaw scored a goal in the final of a major tournament. Mm. Only player to do that in 50 plus years. You forget Harry Maguire is one of the only players that, under the pressure of a final, stepped up and buried a penalty. Harry Kane was the only other one to do that. Yeah, fans have short memories because for Man United, they've not been playing that well. Now, if Luke Shaw doesn't play for Man United at all, doesn't start games, Malassi is constantly at left back, then something might have to be done in that position, because you need to be match fit for a start. And Ben Chilwell was not that, but if he's fit, he has to go because he's unbelievable. But I don't think you can have both of those players if neither of them are playing, because you can't go into tournament football and expect them to play minutes. So personally, Kyle Walker-Peters, and I've always said this, is in a battle with Kieran Trippier for a spot in the squad. Everyone has a particular role in that squad, and Walker-Peters and Trippier come under the role of the player who can, a versatile fullback, can play both sides. Trippier's done it for England plenty of times. Walker-Peters done it for Saints, and he's really good on both sides. But he's not competing as a right back. Neither of them are, because you've got Trent, Reece James, and Kyle Walker, and we're absolutely stacked there. So, you know, Trent offers something that other players don't. If he is at his best, you know, Trent at his best is better than Kyle Walker-Peters at his best. You know, that's that just is what it is. Maybe not defensively, but Trent Alexander-Arnold is someone that if you're chasing a game can change it from right back. So, look, I think I would love to see Walker-Peters in that squad, but seeing the players that are there, I understand why he's not there. I think a lot of people are saying Luke Shaw should come out and Walker-Peters should go in. But at the same time, when you play the way that we want to play, you do need to have a left-footed option out there.
Mm.
And you can't just rely on Chilwell. He could play, get injured in the first game against Iran, and then we have no natural left-sided wing-back. I think that becomes a problem when you've got a 26-man squad and you've already lost your option in a particular position. So, yeah, I think it's a big squad. It'll be interesting to see against top opposition, because last time out we had a pretty crap Nations League run, didn't we? Lost to Hungary 4-0 and didn't get a win. But this will be more telling, I think, for England, because that was at the end of the season. Don't think the players wanted to be there. It was lethargic and it was pretty...
Oh, yeah, it was that run of games where even the best players for other countries were saying, why are we playing these?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And we all said, look, don't panic. It was all Southgate out and all this rubbish, but we were like, we'll see how we go after they've played 6 or 7 games in the Premier League and we're up and running. And these games will be different. Is there any particular name on that list that you think shouldn't be, or any more other than Walker-Peters that maybe should have made the cut in your opinion?
Just having a look. I think one of the goal, it's strange. I know, is Pickford injured at the moment, or is he being dropped? Yeah. I thought he was, because I know that they were, oh yeah, of course, because Everton are getting an emergency loan in. But it's strange. I know Pickford has been outstanding for England, but I'm looking at those three goalkeepers and I'm struggling to think who goes in his stead. Maybe Dean Henderson dropped for Pickford.
I think Ramsdale's the number two.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think Pope and Henderson will be fighting it out for the third goalkeeper slot when it comes to the World Cup, if everyone's fit.
Yeah. Another name possibly, it's strange because we're talking about like game time. Calvin Phillips is another one. I know there's been the discussion of Phillips over Ward-Prowse, but then it's sort of the caveat to that is that Calvin Phillips came on for England in the Euros and we thought, what can he do? And he absolutely bossed the middle and was absolutely terrific. And in my opinion, probably offered much more than what Ward-Prowse could have done at that particular time. So it's difficult, although he hasn't been playing a lot. I don't know how many appearances he's got so far this season for City. I know it's not many, but I can understand why he's there. Because as you said, that saying of credit in the bank, he couldn't have really done much more in the Euros.
Yeah, it definitely applies to him, doesn't it? I'm not sure I completely agree with... I think Ward-Prowse could have done what Calvin Phillips did in those Euros. And it sounds strange because I think he was voted our best player and we got to the final and nearly won it. But I think they're interchangeable, those two players. What Calvin Phillips did really well was off the ball, and that's Ward-Prowse's best attribute other than his set pieces. But we don't need to go into that. But yeah, coming. That was going on a bit of a tangent, really. But I think Calvin Phillips is one of those players that has credit in the bank. And this might almost be used by Southgate as a way of getting some minutes into his legs, because he doesn't really have the power to do that at club level. And he's not playing at all. Again, for me, if Calvin Phillips continues to be sat on the bench for Man City and play minimal part in their games, then he can't go. And I say that more so for Calvin Phillips than maybe Harry Maguire, because I feel that there are players like Ward-Prowse, like Henderson, like Bellingham, who can step in and do what he does Whereas I think Maguire's been there for a long time. I think he's almost a foundation now, and that he's like part of the furniture in that England team, isn't he? And we don't have a plethora of centre backs that have that experience. People will be shouting, "Oh, Tomori should get more game time, and Dyer's played well, and all this sort of stuff." But Fikayo Tomori is not going to start for England. You can clip that up and play it in a couple of months' time. Yeah. But he's not. We're not suddenly going to throw this guy into our lineup when he's barely kicked a ball for England. He hasn't played competitively for England because the Nations League isn't competitive. I'm not going to just change what worked so well for us before in a position that is so important at centre-back. Stones and Maguire will play there. And if we play a three, they'll be joined by Kyle Walker. That's just the way it's going to be. So, potentially Eric Dyer, because he was part of that World Cup squad that did so well, although he was playing in holding midfield. But we're going to see something very similar to what we saw in the Euros. And I think Southgate has every right to do that based on how far we got and how well we did.
Yeah, absolutely. And, those players have been that far, and they, he knows what he can get from them. I'm just looking at the midfield. It's a strange one. I'm looking at Mason Mount because I feel he's been disappointing this season. However, of the players that we've got, if you're talking about sort of that player that's joining the defence to the attack, you think of Jack Grealish, you think of Mason Mount, Jude Bellingham to an extent. Mason Mount has been poor, Phil, and I'm not just saying that as a Saints fan because he's a Pompey boy or something like that, but his numbers don't look good so far this season. And when Chelsea came to St. Mary's, he was fairly anonymous and marked out of the game. And I know players have off games, but it's a difficult one because I'm not quite sure who would go in his place, if you know what I mean. So, because you take him out, and that link between the midfield and the attack can't really be filled by too many because of the midfielders. They're fairly defensive.
Yeah, I think Mason Mount, I personally think he's pretty much guaranteed to go to the World Cup no matter what he does for the next 6 weeks for Southgate and the way he plays. Because we know that Southgate is conservative. We know he's defence before attack. And he plays players like Mason Mount in attacking positions because he knows that he can trust them against the ball. And he knows that he can, sometimes he'll play him on the left wing because he knows that defensively he'll get back and he'll get goal side. I'm not really a massive advocate of that. Certainly not against the sorts of teams we'll be playing in the groups. But in a midfield three, with him as maybe the most attacking of the three, I think that's generally where he'll play. If we play with three up front, or we play a 3-4-3 against Iran, and we play three centre-backs, two wing-backs, Rice and Phillips in front, and then Mount as one of the front three, then that's way too conservative. But he'll, I think he's probably less assured of a start than he has been because of his form this season. But yeah, coming back to it, I know a lot of fans will be, Saints fans can't believe Walker Peters isn't in there, and I know you can't. But at the same time, we've got to realise that there are fans of teams all around the country that are saying the exact same thing because they see their player play week in, week out. So they think compared to others, they're much better. Wolves fans can't believe Max Kilman's not in there. Leeds fans can't believe Jack Harrison's not in there. Leicester fans can't believe that James Maddison isn't in there. You've got Palace fans who can't believe Eze and Mitchell aren't in there. Imagine if all of them got their way. Would you be more confident with the squad that he's just announced going to the World Cup, or one that had all of those players in and you were taking out six or seven players that were involved in the World Cup or involved in the Euros? I think I would be much more confident with the players that are in there now that have that experience than the form players who are doing well at the moment and have barely even got an England cap between them.
No, that's a very good point you make. And, including the likes of Eze, Maddison, even Ben White at Arsenal, who maybe is a bit unfortunate that he's not in there. And then you've got the likes of Ryan Sessegnon, who's been quite good this season at left back. But then again, if it was choosing Sessegnon over Shaw, yeah, I'd be choosing Shaw all the time. And then you've got
there's maverick choices, aren't there, if you put a few of these in. I mean, you can even add Sancho and Rashford to that list. Man United fans, you know, they've been playing well for three games and they think that, you know, both of them should be starting for England. It's not feasible. Maybe one or two here or there, but he's not, you know, if you put Walker Peters in, Wolves fans are going to be thinking, well, why is Kilman not in? Or Leeds fans, why is Harrison? You're not going to make everyone happy. What do you think about this age-old debate? Well, not even a debate, really, but the idea of this top six bias. And if you've got two players that are as talented as each other and one plays in the top six and one doesn't, then the one that's playing in the top six, nine times out of ten, is going to get the nod. Do you believe that's the case with Southgate, and do you think it's fair?
I think if I was going to support that idea, you could argue that players, if they can deliver at a top six side, then obviously they're under far increased pressure to perform than the likes of someone at a mid-table club, because, you know, you've got your European football to be playing for. You're expected to win the majority of games, whereas for example, like Ward-Prowse at Saints, we want him to do well. We know that we're not going to win every game and we will probably lose most of them in the season and pick up points where we can. But if a player is of similar standing and playing at a bigger club, getting minutes and still performing, then obviously they're under a huge amount of pressure from the club, from fans. They know that those clubs do have the financial facilities to, you know, if they're not performing, they'll easily just get replaced and sent out, be sold or sent out on loan. So from that point of view, I can understand why nine times out of 10, they will go for that particular player. However, I feel that there are some performers who, you know, the likes of Luke Shaw, even Calvin Phillips to an extent this season, where you know that they're good, but they're just not getting in their teams. And if they're not getting teams in their sides, then, as you know, there's the lack of match fitness. But it also, you also think if someone is ripping up the Premier League out, or just ripping up whatever division they're in, and not getting picked ahead of someone who's not even getting 5 minutes at the end of games for their big club, then you can understand why it grates a little bit. I know you see four right backs in that squad. And just going back to Kyle Walker-Peters, I think he should be in the squad, because the likes of, you know, Kieran Trippier has been deployed as a left back under Southgate. He was in the Euros at some point. I think Walker-Peters is pretty level with him, but then I'm sort of negating my own argument because Trippier doesn't actually play for a big six side. I think there are some gems that do go under the radar just because there is this bias towards the top six. However, I think in recent years, we have seen more players from lower level clubs get into the team and sort of maybe just say no to that argument ever so slightly. You know, the likes of Connor Cody, Mark Gay, Fikayo Tomori, I know he's at AC Milan. But, you know, those teams
going in even now.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Ivan Tony, Jared Bowen.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. You're on the same wavelength as me, because the fans that aren't fans of top six clubs seem to have a general dislike for a manager who will not pick a player who's performing at their club really well at that level. But the fact of the matter is that England are going to this tournament to win it. So they're going into every game with the intention of winning the football match. You need players, in my opinion, you need players that have experience of having that mentality and playing at those standards for a big club week in, week out, where you go into every game to win it. And if you lose, you're massively disappointed. If you take Saints, for example, if they go to Anfield, or if they go to the Etihad, or if they go to Stamford Bridge, and they get a point, or they'll play for a point, they'll celebrate that like it's a win. You can't do that at this level for England, because you need to win every game at a tournament. Whereas if you're playing for one of those big teams, you know, also you've got to add to that the experience of playing at the highest level, playing in the Champions League, you know, playing under, you mentioned the word pressure. I think you're spot on, because those are the pressures that if you're playing for, you know, England are a top six country. Yeah, if you're going to do a top six in the Premier League, then they're top six countries. They're one of the big teams. They're expected to win games. So you need players that know how to do that and play under that pressure week in, week out. You might have a player that is really good at a level. James Ward-Prowse, Kyle Walker-Peters, Saints examples. At our level, probably our two best players last season. But they're still playing in a team that, like you said, loses more than they win, is used to losing. Not that they accept it, but it's far more acceptable to lose some games at our level than it is for the big teams. So, and like I said, the European games as well, playing at the highest level in the Champions League and performing and winning games, I think you need that. I'm not saying that every player in that team should be from the top six, but I think if you've got two players that are of similar ability and one is doing it at a higher level, then that player is the player that goes in. And unfortunately, that's always been the case. And that's why the football pyramid works the way that it does. You know, Saints fans know, even this season more than ever, that players that come in to Saints won't be there in a few years. You know, we've actively promoted our club as a stepping stone to players, you know, but Bela Kotchup got into the Germany squad based on what he's done at Saints, and obviously before that as well. I haven't seen anyone talk about Bela Kotchup at Saints in a way that we used to talk about players like Van Dijk or even Lovren before that, where we were like, this guy is an absolute player. Imagine where he can take us. Imagine how high we can go with these players. Mm. Now we're saying, ah, Bela Kotchup's brilliant. He'll go for 60 million in a couple of years' time. It's all about money. So we know our station and we know where we are. And it's the sad fact from a fan's point of view in the Premier League, if you're not top six, that if your player wants to win trophies domestically and get recognition internationally, they have to move. And that's how it goes in the end. That's why you very rarely get one club man. You know, hopefully Ward-Prowse is that. But, you know, I think one day the likes of him and Kyle Walker-Peters will need to move on for those reasons. So, yeah, the point being that the players in this squad, the majority of the players that will go to the World Cup are players that play and are used to playing at a high standard. Man United, Liverpool, those types of clubs. And there will be a sprinkling of form players, exciting young players that are coming through at smaller clubs, but are doing well. The likes of Tony, the likes of Jared Bowen last season, Declan Rice at West Ham, still at West Ham, is one of England's best players. But we won't have a squad that's littered with those.
No, and you'll have... You'll have like the main bulk will be from the top six, as you said, because they're used to performing under those pressured environments. So, you know, for those of you listening, feel free to agree or disagree if you think that, you know, that more players from lower side should be in the England squad. Then please, you know, comment below. Let us know. We, you know, there isn't an England squad announcement that goes by without just a trail of comments of saying, why isn't my player from my club in the team? You know, just looking at the tweets at the moment, the ones we've already talked about, Max Kilman, Sessegnon, Eze, Maddison. There's hardly ever any tweets, any replies to the England ones that say, that agree with, oh yes, this is the best squad, that I agree with every single selection that you've made there. It just doesn't happen that way. But I think we just
can't please everyone.
Exactly.
Can't please everyone. If it was a 40-man squad, there'd still be players that were left out. That, you know, Fulham will be wondering why Harrison Reed's not in there, because he's had five good games at the beginning of a Premier League season, and you know, it starts to get ridiculous. So yeah, I think it will be interesting, and players do, you know, it's loyalty first. You know, Pickford will be his number one. He's playing for a pretty sorry Everton side, whereas Aaron Ramsdale is top of the league with Arsenal. But I'm pretty sure Pickford's going to be his number one based on what he's done for him before. So it will be, I think it will be interesting to watch these games and see the final glimpses of these players and how England are setting up, especially against big teams like Italy and Germany. And if form or any blistering form between now and the end of November, middle of November, I guess 16th, the squad will probably come out.
16th of November.
Is that for the squad or is that when the tournament starts?
I'm just having a look. England squad.
There's not long to go. So that squad will be, that squad will be pretty much the same. There might be one or two that sneak
Southgate
in there.
Southgate will announce his squad for Qatar on or around Thursday, October 20th. So it, which is a 30 days before the match. So yeah, it's only about a month and a half.
If he'll do, is that the option where he announces it without having to announce it, because he can announce a 33-man squad and then whittle it down, just like he did for the Euros.
Yeah. But just having a look, this is a
28-man squad. A couple of those players will miss out, and there might be, you know, the injuries permitting as well. You know, there will be injuries in this squad. Big players will unfortunately miss out, and others will come in. But I'll be surprised if there's anyone that's not in this squad. That's obviously not the injured players, because they can't be in the squad now. Well, I'd be anyone that's been actively left out of this squad. I'll be very surprised if they make it into the World Cup squad, unless they're coming in as a replacement for an injured player. I think this is where we are now. I think one of Tony and Abraham misses out. I think potentially Jared Bowen misses out.
Yep.
I think one of those centre backs misses out. Either Dyer or Gay. And then, you know, Henderson maybe comes in for one of the midfielders, hopefully not for Ward-Prowse. I think Ward-Prowse needs to have a good 6 weeks, or not good, yeah, 5 or 6 weeks now to cement himself. And obviously Pickford will come in too. I think other than that, you're there or thereabouts. If someone like a Rashford continues the form he has in the last couple of games over the next 6 weeks, he's a player that could come in, because Southgate trusts him and he knows what he's about, and he was part of that Euros setup and the World Cup. But unfortunately, the players in form for the smaller clubs, I don't see them having a way in this late into that World Cup squad.
No, they'd have to be on Haaland levels of scoring to get to work their ways in. Quick question before we start to wrap things up. Now, obviously, we've got big nation. I know the Nations League isn't competitive, but it matches against Italy and Germany. So if you're talking about dangerous and difficult opposition to be facing against, although one of them isn't actually at the World Cup, so, you know, it's one of those stragglers. It works in both ways in terms of if England put in shoddy performances and lose both matches going into the World Cup, is that a bad? Is that bad? Do you get worried? On the other hand, if they put in great performances and beat both of them, or just put it all round, you know, get good results from those ones, do you get too excited about it? Like, how are you feeling ahead of these Nations League games? Do you not really care because tournament football is a beast of its own?
Performances are more important to start with. Yeah, I know you want to go into a World Cup knowing that it would be great to go in knowing that we can beat the big teams and beat their strongest players. You know, a reserve game against Italy is of no use to anyone. But if if you get those wins against the big teams going into it, they can go in high spirits. However, you know, if you don't deserve to win those games and you sneak through, that's one thing. But if we get performances where we are the better team against the likes of Italy and Germany, that's what we need. It'll be pretty disastrous, I think, if we have a similar Nations League period as we did in the summer, because I think, you know, I think after that they could probably do with a pick me up. But you don't get too excited with it, because England have always done well in friendlies against the big teams and then notoriously failed to do so when something's on the line until recent years under Southgate. So I think it will be an interesting watch to see some of these players. I hope to see an idea of what his best team is and what the sort of team that might start at the World Cup. I think we'll have an idea of that. And certainly, you know, potentially formation. But it would be good to see some players and how they perform, the likes of Tony, the likes of Bowen, Chilwell, who we've probably not seen in the England team for a long time. You know, see some of these players, Tomori maybe, really put a marker down. Because I think it's hard to do that in friendlies against pretty shit teams. But, you know, if someone like Tomori absolutely bosses it against Italy and or Germany, or Tony gets a goal in each game, that's hard to ignore.
Yeah, and you know, you want to be going in on decent form. And I'm looking at the England fixtures. I wonder if they'd be managed to get a friendly in between, because at the moment on the scheduled games, England against Germany, and then England don't play again until their game against Iran on the 21st of November. So I'd imagine they'd book something in between. You think so, although it'd be fairly short notice, but
well, it's weird, isn't it? Because usually there are two games in a week about 10 days before the start of the tournament, sort of just before the players get on the plane and go to the training camp. Whereas there's no time for that because it's midway through the Premier League season. So I think it's, yeah, they've not got much time at all. I think the Premier League takes the last game in the Premier League is early to mid-November. And then after that, I think they've got like a week until the World Cup starts. So there's barely a time for them to get out there and do training. Really. So I think this will be it. I think that's definitely the plan anyway. I don't think there's any way you fit in a game. Otherwise, they'd be fitting in more Premier League games, wouldn't they? But it will be an interesting watch, and it will be interesting to see how they get on against two good sides. But I think this squad is pretty telling, and it'll be there or thereabouts for the squad that goes to Qatar. And we'll do a video maybe the week before that squad is announced. So we'll pencil something in for mid-October, as we did for the Euros, to go through and select what our squad would be. Should be easier this time because we have three extra spaces, Tom. I think the 23 was pretty difficult before. But yeah, we'll do that around mid-October. But until then, I imagine it will be all things Saints.
Yeah, and looking forward to, obviously, Aston Villa on Friday night, tomorrow, tonight, whenever I'd be able to get this episode out. So lots to look forward to. An international break, get Romeo Lavia back from injury. And yeah, getting ready for an absolute football feast until probably the international break in March. It's going to be quite something.
It is. Club football for five more weeks, and then suddenly that World Cup. Yeah, that's coming around fast, isn't it? When you said 6 weeks, a month and a half earlier, I thought, oh God, is it really? Until the start. The squad will be announced. The World Cup squad is a month away. And then a couple of weeks after that, the lads will be going.
It's showtime.
Out there to Qatar. Like, yeah, it's all going to be happening. Four games per day through the winter. That'll see us right up until Christmas, won't it?
It will. And before you know it, we'll be all sat in front of our TVs, really looking forward to, I hope this is absolutely seamless, but I'm just going down the fixtures because
cut this out.
Yeah. We'll be looking forward to opening night, 7 o'clock, Qatar against Ecuador. That's the one that we'll all be making sure get home.
England are playing on the first day, aren't they?
Well, actually,
England played before that, I think.
No, they've shifted the games by a day because it was odd that Senegal Netherlands was the first game because Qatar weren't. So Qatar are playing on the 20th. That's the only game on the 20th. Qatar Ecuador, and then when it gets to the 21st, England against Iran, Senegal against the Netherlands, and the USA against Wales.
So they've moved the Qatar game to the day before everyone else. So England are the early one. They're the next one after the hosts, right?
Yeah, England are the next one. I'd say from a neutral country, there aren't too many matches in those opening four when you're thinking, wow, I can't wait to watch that one.
Who did Senegal have?
Senegal have got the Netherlands. So I guess that could be an interesting one. But aside from Sadio Mane, you're not quite, and Koulibaly, you're not quite sure entirely. I think, and I'm just looking at the opening fixtures.
Let's be honest, Tom. When World Cup comes around or the Euros come around and there's four games a day,
you don't care who's playing.
We're watching anything. Yeah, we're watching all of them. That's what it's all about. We'll be watching Ecuador versus Qatar on the first night, not knowing a single player on the pitch, but that's where these legends are made, right?
Absolutely. And what'll happen in that game, mate, is and someone from Ecuador is going to score an absolute screamer and then do nothing for the rest of the tournament. Maybe play okay, but you can bet the first article out in January will be like Premier League clubs trying to sign World Cup star.
He'll end up going to Everton or something, won't he?
33-year-old, something like that. That's all we've got to look forward to. Callum, pleasure as always. You can find the pod on Twitter at under_saint. You can find myself at T214 Murray.
You can find me at Callum Wilson 21.
Well, we're not too far off. Let's see what happens.